Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to this holy half hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight's programme promises to be something else, as they say. That's because it's entitled Christianity is Something Else. Recently, I asked a number of people if they ever thought of Jesus as the rebel rather than Jesus as the pillar of society. Every one of them said no, and that got me thinking. What do you think? Is Jesus part of the establishment, the nice guy in stained glass windows, the one with the halo round his head, the founder of Christianity? Or do you see him as the one who got up the noses of the Pharisees, the church people of his day, the one who was found guilty by the Roman authorities, and the one who was crucified as a criminal on a cross? What is your verdict? Here's King Herod interrogating Jesus and coming to his verdict.
Jesus, I am overjoyed to meet you face to face. You've been getting quite a name all around the place. Healing cripples, raising from the dead. Ugh. And now I understand you're God. At least that's what you've said. So, you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need do, and I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Jesus, you just won't believe the hit you made round here. You were all we talk about, the wonder of the year. Oh, what a pity if it's all a lie. Still, I'm sure that you can rock the cynics if you try. So you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Come on, King of the Jews. I'd ask any superstar, what is it that you have got that puts you where you are? I'm waiting, yes, I'm a captive fan. I'm dying to be shown that you are not just any man. So if you are the Christ, yes, the great Jesus Christ, feed my household with his bread. You can do it on your head. Or has something gone wrong? Why do you take so long? Come on, King of the Jews. Hey, aren't you scared of me, Christ? Mr. Wonderful Christ. You're a joke, you're not the Lord. You're nothing but a fraud. Take him away. He's got nothing to say. Get out, you king of the... Get out. Get out, you king of the Jews. Get out, you king of the Jews. Get out of my life. Yeah.
Jesus' band of disciples were heavily outnumbered at first. They were seen as a weird and wacky new sect of the Jews. They didn't fit in very well into Jewish or Roman society in lots of ways. The Romans worshipped their emperor as being a god. The Christians refused to do this. They only worshipped Jesus Christ as God, hence their name Christ ones or Christians. The name was first coined in Antioch, and it was a term of abuse, those Christians. The Christians were happy to be named after Jesus, and they tried to turn it into a name of respect. The Romans served as soldiers and defended their empire against the barbarian tribes. But Christians had been taught by Christ to love their enemies, so in those days Christians were pacifists and refused to serve in the Roman army. Christians also refused to go to hospital because the hospital chaplains then used to chant and pray to the Roman god Aesculapius to heal the sick. Christians refused to go to school because school books told stories about pagan gods and told them as if the stories were true. Christian sculptors had difficulties when asked to sculpt an idol for pagans. Christians would not attend the Colosseum to watch gladiators fight to the death just to entertain people. Killing bulls in bullfights is bad enough, but killing people for fun was just too much to bear. Christians boycotted theatres because the plays were cruel and coarse. Christians refused to go to law courts because St. Paul had said that when they quarrelled, they should be able to sort things out themselves. Instead, they were to go to the bishop, who sat in a big chair called a cathedra, from which we get the word cathedral. Christians kept slaves, but they treated them kindly. Slaves and slave owners would sit down together as equals at communion, something unheard of and way ahead of its time. Christians, unlike pagans, would not take weak or unwanted children out into the woods and leave them to die or be picked up by robbers. Christians were buried in the Christian catacombs, secret underground tunnels, rather than with the rest of their pagan families. For all these reasons and many more, Christians were out of step with the rest of society and therefore incurred persecution. They were fed to lions, they were covered in pitch and set ablaze as streetlights. They were crucified. Still, they kept on growing and spreading, till one day the Roman Emperor Constantine himself became a Christian. Overnight, the persecuted minority sect became the official state religion. And all through history, the pendulum has swung back and forth. Christians in or out of fashion. Jesus, the pillar of society, or Jesus, the rebel. Here's Michael Card singing about Jesus overturning the tables of the establishment.
The seers and the prophets had foretold it long ago, that the long-awaited one would make men stumble. But they were looking for a king to conquer and to kill. Who'd have ever thought he'd be so meek and humble? He will be the truth that will offend them one and all. A stone that makes men stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And many will be broken so that he can make them whole. This way must be offended. To some he is a barrier, to others he's the way. For all should know the scandal of believing. He will be the truth that will offend them one and all. A stone that makes men stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Many will be broken so that he can make them whole. Thank you.
Jesus was not always meek and mild, nor are his disciples. Christianity is not the opium of the masses, as Karl Marx famously said. Opium is the opium of the masses. Nor is Christian faith just a psychological crutch for weaklings. Christians have often taken a brave stand. During times of plague, it was Christians who ventured into the streets and took away the dead bodies of the plague victims for burial, thus saving their fellow citizens' lives. In East Germany, under the Soviet Union, Christians were persecuted in the sense that the state would not provide schools or hospitals or dentists or jobs for them. They were left to fend for themselves. So the Christians set about establishing the best schools, the best hospitals, the best dentist practices, and so on. Soon, even the communist officials preferred to come to the Christian ones rather than the communist ones because they were so good. And then the Berlin Wall fell and the Soviet Empire collapsed, but Christianity continues there. Here's Kenny Rogers singing, "The higher you build your barriers, the higher we will climb." So Christianity is something else. It's a radical alternative to the rest of society. Often this is not noticed, even by many Christians, unfortunately. But Jesus was radical and revolutionary, and he calls his disciples to be as well. For instance, in a world where people prey on their neighbours, we pray for our neighbours. Society says, look after number one. Christians put God as number one. Neighbours as number two, and self as number three. The secret of joy is in the spelling, J-O-Y. Jesus, others, then yourself, as Ian White sings.
Joy, 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 joy. I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes,
Jesus' golden rule for his disciples was, do to others what you would like others to do to you. Notice, don't just not sin, but positively do good, which is a whole lot more. Don't just bite your lip, say something positively constructive. Jesus also commanded us to love one another as I have loved you, and he loved us to the point of dying on a cruel cross for us. Greater love has no one than that they lay down their lives for another person. Christians, if they are Christ-like, will love their neighbours, love strangers — there are no strangers, just friends we haven't met yet — and love even enemies. Now there's a radical thought. Here's Cliff Richard singing about our choice between a loveless or a loving world. Speaking of love, here's a very radical thought. Christian marriage is very different from marriage by a registrar or living together unmarried. Christian marriage understands itself as being a three-way partnership, not a two-way partnership. Three-way because it involves God as one of the marrying partners, indeed the main one, the boss, he who must be obeyed and all that. Here's Cliff again to explain with a little help from Helen Shapiro.
If I said I loved you, what would you say? And And if I said I needed you, would it frighten you away? If I said I loved you and I wanted you to be my one and only lover eternally? You and me and Jesus, Jesus, me and you. On our own we'd break, with him we'll make it through. Jesus, take us, make us what you want us both to be. I give myself to her, she gives herself to me. Love is really fragile, and if it's gonna last, we gotta start by giving Jesus future, present, past. I ache the way I love you, but baby it's sink or swim. And when we look back years from now, we're gonna owe it all to him. You and me and Jesus, Jesus, me and you. On our own we'd break, with him we'll make it through. Jesus, take us, make us what you want us both to be. I give myself to her, she gives herself to me.
Here's a few other ways in which Christianity is something else. Jesus and Christians believe in turning the other cheek and trying to promote peace and harmony, rather than stoking up tit-for-tat escalating spirals of revenge. And Christians don't give, they share. If we have a tangerine and someone is hungry, we don't just give them one grudging slice. Rather we say, let's call it our tangerine. Sharing is much more radical than just giving. And consider this, Jesus inspired us to see service in a whole new light. He came into our world as the self-styled suffering servant, to suffer and die to serve us. He made service a thing of beauty, honour and dignity. He humbly washed the disciples' feet. He taught us the meaning of civil service, as Graham Kendrick sings here in The Servant King.
Yet not my will, but yours. God, the servant king, he calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king.
I'm afraid we haven't time to go into details, but let me mention some other radical, revolutionary ways in which Christianity is really something else. Christians look for trouble, so they can do something to help. Christians interfere with their neighbours. The Good Samaritan poked his nose in. Christians don't treat people as they find them. They treat them better than that. Jesus didn't treat Zacchaeus, the greedy taxman, as he deserved. Christians share freely and receive freely. They don't sit on their independence. Christians forgive before people say sorry. The world only forgives after an apology. But the father forgave his prodigal son long before he came home. Christians like Jesus forgive 70 times 7, go the second mile, pray for persecutors. So you see, Christianity really is something else. We can only hope to live it with help from Jesus Christ himself. So bye for now, and may Jesus go with you, and more to the point, may you go with him. Here's Don Francisco singing the Steeple Song.
I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor is super-powered and your program's always new. What you need is love and truth. Men are gonna come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? I don't care if you pray for miracles. Don't care if you speak with tongues. Don't care if you've said you love me in every song you've sung. It doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? And do you love your wife? With all you've got inside you, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick, that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me.